We begin a series today on holiness that will take us right up almost to Easter. And I think sometimes as Christians, I know especially as unbelievers, but even as Christians, we have kind of a skewed idea of what holiness is. And so often we think of holiness as something that's just reserved for God. And that's not true. That's not true. And so this scripture in 2 Timothy really is a preface to this series on holiness and why we need holiness in our lives. And so let's read that beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. Know this, that in the last days... That's the days we're living in. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty descriptive of the world we live in today. And it's even somewhat descriptive of the church today, the church at large, in some of those areas. I don't know if you can identify with some of those things, but I think all of us can identify with something in that passage. And, you know, the thing we need to understand is this was written to the church. This was written to the church. We can read those things and, well, that's all those people that don't go to church. All those heathens out there that don't know God. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But no, this was written to the church because this is for the church and it's for God's people. Matthew 11:29. Let's go there real quick. He says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. The word lowly there is humble, means humble. And you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke means join together. Jesus is saying, join with me and you'll learn from me. For I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Isn't that what everybody wants? Rest for your soul? Yeah. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you know, if anything needs rest, those things need rest in today's society. But here's what's significant about those words you see on the screen. The holiest and most powerful voice ever called himself gentle and humble in heart. In other words, Jesus was full of humility. So what does that have to do with holiness? Holiness is the result of grace. And here's what the scripture says. God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. Now, Jesus, in his time on earth, went around condemning sinners, right? No, he didn't condemn sinners. You know who he condemned? Hypocrites. He condemned hypocrites. Why? Because sinners are just doing what they know to do. But you see, hypocrites excuse their own sin while condemning someone else's. Hypocrites seldom, if ever, deal with corruption in their own heart. And subsequently, they don't seek mercy, so they don't have any mercy to give. Here's the fact this morning that we need to get. We cannot remain a hypocrite and find holiness. We cannot remain a hypocrite and find holiness. Why? Because holiness is the result of grace, and God gives grace only to the humble. Grace comes to humility. And here's the point. A holy person is a humble person. A holy person is a humble person. That's truly what Jesus is describing it as. Holiness is humility. It's humble. The first step to holiness, which is what we're talking about today, the beginning of holiness, the first step to holiness is humility. That's admitting we're not as holy as we want to appear. No amens on that, right? We're not as holy as we try to appear, are we? You see, grace is brought through humility, and grace is what changes the human heart. Holiness is not just obeying, it's not obeying a bunch of rules. It's putting away pride and arrogance. You see, if we're not aware of the depravity of our old nature, we'll become Pharisees, hypocrites, filled with self-righteousness. In Luke 18, Jesus told a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You know, they came in the temple to worship. And the Pharisee came in and looked around and stuck out his chest real proud and bold and say, I tithe. I worship 3 times a day. I pray. And I'm not like this tax collector over here. And then the tax collector came in, humble. Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. Please receive me. You see, the first step to holiness is humility. One of the greatest hindrances in Christianity, or of Christianity, is too many churches look at each other with attitudes of superiority. I'm going to say that again. One of the biggest hindrances in Christendom, in the Christian world, is too many churches look at each other with superiority. Well, we do this better than that, and our music's better than their music, or, you know, they're weird the way they do things, or we have higher attendance than they do. Our budget's bigger than they are. We don't do those kind of things. You know, I'm thankful that we don't do that at Heart Cry. We try to engage other churches. I meet with pastors from a couple other churches I've been meeting for years now, with pastor from a Baptist church and a pastor from a hardcore Pentecostal church. And we pray together. We pray for each other's churches. We sow into each other's lives. And, you know, are there some differences? Yeah, there's some differences in the way we worship or the way we do church. But that's not a hindrance to our relationship, because we're all about the same thing. Amen? We're all about the kingdom. And if we can help them build the kingdom, Casa Cristiana is a perfect example of how we've been partnering for several years together as they started here. And now we've watched them. It's just been a blessing to watch them grow. And now as we move out, they move into this place and this whole building. That's what it's about. You see, the modern day church is overstocked with people thinking they are holy. The reality is they're the exact opposite, because they lack humility. Humility is the key. See, humility is drawn from a much deeper place than our own awareness. Than our own awareness of our need. See, meekness needs to become a way of life. Jesus followers are humble. Listen, Jesus followers are humble by choice, not by force. When we have to be humbled by the actions of God, it should be a signal that we have an issue. I know it is for me. I try to listen to him, because I'm telling you, it's not fun when he humbles you. It's not fun. You see, hypocrites love to judge because it makes them feel superior. And the truth brings us to our next point. Anyone can judge, but can they save you? Anybody can judge you, but can they save? Can they lay down their lives in love, intercession, and faith for the one that they judge? See, it's easy to look at somebody out there on the street or that we encounter in a store or a restaurant or somewhere and just say, well, what's up with them? They don't look right. They don't act right. They don't smell right. Nothing to do with them. They're just nothing. Now, that's easy to do, but can you lay down your life for that person that you think is a nothing? Can you lay down your life for them? You see, instead of criticizing an area of need, can they fast and pray for God to touch a shortcoming in someone else? You see, this goes into this holiness thing, goes into all relationships. Can they keep praying until godliness takes over that area of need? That's real holiness. That's humility. And that's what Jesus calls us to. Amen. We can criticize all day long, but one act of Christ's love extended through us will do more in a hard heart than all the criticism totaled together. You know, I shared a long time back, one of our staff members is involved with a youth organization, football organization. And there was a particular person in there that was very difficult with everybody to get along with. And our staff person just pushed that stuff away. After they had done a little bit of judging and God spoke to them, and they said, you know what? They said, I need to make a bridge there. And so they went to that person, and the person didn't know it, but they apologized. Said, I'm sorry for judging you and judging where you're at and being critical of what you're doing and how you're doing things. Will you forgive me? And that person broke right then and began to weep. And they began to build a relationship. And I believe it's having an effect on that person. You see, that's holiness. It begins with humility, humbling yourself before someone. Bless you, bless you, bless you over there, wherever that's coming from. That's holiness. It's humility. It's an act of love to soften a hard heart. And here's the fact. We don't become holy by criticizing others. And others are not drawn closer to Jesus through criticisms. You do realize that, right? You know, people living in sin, you really don't have to tell them that. They know. Because the same God that makes everyone else's heart and conscience made theirs. We don't have to tell them that. Now, you have to share the truth with them if that conversation comes up or they ask. But it's not criticism. It's about humility. Criticizing others does not get them any closer to Jesus. You know, it used to get me. People go to abortion clinics and protest in front of the abortion clinics. And I know it still goes on. And they holler and scream at these women going in there to have an abortion. Call them baby killers and that kind of stuff. Well, that's really bringing them to Jesus, isn't it? You see, that doesn't work. That's not holiness. That's haughtiness. You see, look at Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. Are you with me?
Yes.
Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for you and for me. Now, he didn't wait till I got my act cleaned up. He didn't wait till I got all the sin out of my life. He didn't wait till everything was just right and I got everything together. He died for me. And he died for you. In God's kingdom, listen to me. In God's kingdom, unless you are first committed to die for people, you can't judge them. You can't judge them unless you're first committed to die for them. And here's the truth. The ears listening to gossip or criticism are just as guilty as the mouth speaking it. No amen there either, is there? Because we're all guilty of that, aren't we? But it's the truth. The ears listening to gossip are just as guilty as the one, the mouth speaking it. And here's the fact. There's only one thing keeping most churches from prospering spiritually. They've yet to find God, collectively and individually. That's what keeps them from prospering spiritually. Look back at John 5, John chapter 5, verse 44. Here we go. How can you believe who receive honor from one another? How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek honor from the only God? Here's the point. Holiness comes from seeking the glory of God. Holiness comes from seeking God. Jesus says here, he's saying, here's what he was saying in that passage. They were seeking the approval of each other, men, the approval of man. Even today in churches, good churches, there are those who want to compliment each other, listen to me, rather than tell the truth of God's word. It's a curse. It's a curse seeking the approval of men rather than the honor that only comes from God. Again, you see, there's a balance. And that's a problem in a lot of churches. They don't want to hear truth. And that's the biggest challenge for pastors, is being willing to speak truth to people. Because by and large, they don't want to hear it. And when you do speak it, I'm out of here. Hey, just being real, guys. Jesus said they were seeking approval of each other. You see, we can know that we're in a right relationship with God when our desire for His glory causes us to just disdain the praise of man. You see, the praise of men is so fleeting. It's so deceptive and it's so temporary. Listen, just a few days after the Lycaonians wanted to actually worship Paul. And he had to say, no, no. Just a few days later, they were high-fiving each other after they'd stoned him. Hello. Praises of men. Jesus entered the city on a donkey with them waving palm fronds, palm branches, and praising him. By the end of the week, they were shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. Do you see why he says we don't need the praises of man? Because it's so fleeting and deceptive and temporary. Ask yourself, whose glory do I seek in life? Whose glory do I seek in life? God's or my own? What's our motivation for being spiritual or appearing spiritual? What's the motivation? You see, only to the degree that we're seeking the glory of God are our motivations pure. Amen. Let me say that again. Only to the degree that we're seeking God are our motivations pure. God delights in the man or woman who serves him with joy. With joy. Especially when there's no one there to observe they're serving him. There's no one there to be impressed by the way they're serving. So what does that mean? Let me illustrate it this way. I've heard people who witnessed to a person and that person received Christ. And then the person who witnessed to them went around in kind of a arrogant way and said, I led so-and-so to Jesus. I prayed with John Doe and he got saved. Or I laid hands on what's-her-name and she was healed. Now think about that. Think about what I just quoted. Who is that calling attention to? Me. Yeah, self. Who's getting the glory in those comments? Whose praise is being sought there? You see, we hear statements made just that way, and not one time is God mentioned. No, the truth is, I shared with this person, and God saved them. The truth is, yeah, I laid hands and prayed for this person, and God healed them. God healed them. See, the Bible says no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So it doesn't matter what we do, unless the Spirit draws them, they're not going to get saved. Here's the truth. If we truly find God and seek His glory, no one's going to have to tell us to be humble. The things that are, the Bible says, the things that are highly esteemed among men, listen to this, the things that are highly detested, things that are highly esteemed among men become detestable in our sight. Things that are highly esteemed among men will become detestable in our sight. That's in Luke. See, what can be more important than finding God? Take a day. Take a half a day, a week, or a month, and just seek Him until you find Him. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that if you'll just seek Him, He says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Find God. Determine to live your life in pursuit of His glory. As He touches you, something's going to come alive in you. When you seek Him and He touches you, something comes alive in you. Instead of looking down on people, you'll be looking to lift them up. You'll dwell in the presence, His presence, and you'll be holy as He is holy, because you'll be humble. Humble as He is humble. Here's the point. There's a time to seek God. To do nothing but seek God. At times, you know, God will just, He calls us out of our daily lives just to seek His face and nothing else. It's a time that He has something for us that we can't get in a familiar pattern of our daily devotions. Many times, often these are times that people are delivered from sin. Sin that's dogged them for years. Some people are drawn deeper with Him. That makes them more effective in prayer and in ministry. Others experience breakthroughs in their families and are suddenly used by God to lead loved ones into the kingdom. Just taking time to push everything away and seek Him. Just seek Him. See, we're not seeking God for things or others during this time. I'm talking about just seeking Him for Him. For His presence. In that special time where you just experience God. Personally. See, we begin to mature spiritually when we break the habit of just seeking God during hardship or need. Now, it's easy to do, isn't it? When we're struggling and things are tough, it's easy to seek God, isn't it? But how about just seeking Him when things are okay and just wanting and desiring His presence. See, we need to be after more than just an experience, more than just goosebumps and tears. We need to be abiding in Christ, abiding with Christ, continually aware of His presence in us. So how do we do that? Well, let's go to Exodus. Exodus 33. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. This series might run more people off than the stewardship series did. Exodus, just kidding. Exodus, kind of. 33, verse 7. Moses, listen to this. Moses took his tent and he pitched it where? Outside the camp. Far from the camp. And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord did what? They went out. They went out. That's significant. Hold on to that. They went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. You see, everybody who sought the Lord went out. Now, what does that mean? That means they left their place of familiarity. They left the routine. They got away from the camp, the hustle and bustle of everyday life. And you know what? That's what we have to do to truly seek Him. Just seek Him. We have to get away from camp. We have to have to get away from the camp of, again, familiarity. Familiarity can be good, but it can be awful. Jesus called His disciples away from their familiar patterns of their life to be alone with Him at times. Because He knew by human nature, humans are unconsciously governed by the familiar. Aren't we? Aren't we? See, it permeates our thoughts. It permeates our plans. Everything about us. And to focus on eternal things, we have to get away from the temporal things. Now, you don't neglect your family or responsibilities. I don't mean that. But you know, God provides all of us time to just seek Him. Even if it's a few hours. We just have to purpose to do it. Amen? We have to redeem the time. At times we have to, I can make some suggestions, by the way. At times we have to cancel hobbies, activities, television, Facebook, newspaper. Just say no to every voice but His. Just say no to every voice but His for a time. Even for a few hours. A day is wonderful. You see, God has more for us than just being a better person. Let me say that again. God has more for us than just being a better person. Amen. He wants to flood our life with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Amen. Most people's sense of reality and therefore their security is rooted in the familiar. It's called comfortable. It's pretty hard to grow spiritually in our security. Especially if our security is based upon the stability of outward things. The stock market, the economy, the job, the this, the that. See, our security must come from God. And then, not circumstances, not even relationships, folks. Our security can't come from relationships. Won't work. It has to be rooted in Christ. See, most people pass through life umbilically tied to the protector of the familiar. Many good people remain in lifeless churches because of familiar faces are more comfortable than the truth of Christ. It's true, and I'm not knocking other churches, but there are lifeless churches out there. They're dead. I wonder why people who are delivered from bad situations, think about this. People who are delivered from bad situations often fall back into those hardships. Adversity, you see, this is why adversity is familiar. Adversity is more familiar to them. Young girls who have been abused or neglected by their fathers, sadly, they seek out and marry men who eventually do the same thing to them. It's a pattern, familiarity. These familiar things don't necessarily trap us in sin as much as they keep us from God. They keep us, they stand between us and God. And at times we need to leave the camp of what's predictable and what's normal and just seek God. Amen. Get away from the familiar and just seek God. You see, the most profound part of a spiritually intense retreat, it does that. It just gets you away from the world. You step off the world for a day or two and just focus on Him. It's where I got saved. Not at church. I was going to church. But that was a familiarity. And I wasn't really getting the word. But when I stepped away and went to a retreat where I heard the gospel and the Spirit of God was present, I got saved. Familiarity can be a curse. Familiarity can be a curse. See, if we're going to become holy, we must break the... And again, I want you to listen when I say holy. I want you to think humble. Okay? Because when I say that, if we're going to become holy, I know where the mind goes. Some of you thought, oh, well, I ain't ever going to be holy. I can't be holy. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Humility through grace. But if we're going to become holy, we have to break the bondage of desiring, listen to me, just an average life. We have to leave the camp of familiarity and get in the presence of God. And I'm telling you, when you get in the presence of God and it's just you and Him, and He shows up, you'll never be the same. Amen. You'll never be the same. You see, true ministry is not found in what... Listen to this. If you don't get anything else today, please get this. And I don't know why, but it's not going to be on the screen, so you're going to have to write it down or get it in your mind. True ministry is not found in what we do for God. True ministry is not found in what we do for God, but in what kind of people we become to Him. True ministry is not found in what we do for God, but in what we become to God. And much of what we've just heard in this opening series of the beginning of holiness, it boils down to two things. Two things only. The first one is this. Knowing God's heart in Christ. Knowing God's heart in Christ. Knowing God. Obviously, you're not going to be holy as He is holy if you don't know God. You have to know God's heart through Christ. And Christ is the one that reveals God's heart. Come to me, all who are laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am humble in heart. Know God's heart in Christ. So how do we know the heart of God? He's written it down for us in His Word. Right here. Looks like this. And I don't have my phone. Sometimes it looks like cell phone or an iPad. It's written down. It's in His Word because He expresses His heart. Listen to me. God expresses His heart in His Word. God's heart is for people. And in our quest to know Him, we have to recognize He loves people. He loves people. especially those that society ignores. I have to know how far he would travel. Listen, I have to know how far he would travel for people, because that's how far he wants me to journey. He wants to journey through me. When you know how far he will travel for people, that's how far he wants to travel through you, through me. We have to know his thoughts. We have to know God's thoughts about illness, about poverty, about human suffering. Because as his servants, we're useless to him unless we know those things. And in times of study and prayer, we need to be seeking his heart. The first thing is boils down to is knowing God's heart in Christ. And the second thing is this, knowing my heart in Christ's light. In other words, seeing my heart as Christ sees my heart. Seeing my heart as Jesus sees my heart. In other words, compare my heart's motives, my thoughts, my desires, and my actions with Charles and Brian, right? I compare my actions and my thoughts and my motives with them, right? Oh, my wife. No. Who do I compare my actions, my thoughts, and my motives with? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. Compare our heart's motives, thoughts, desires, and our actions with Jesus. And as we get closer to God's heart, his presence begins a purging. It begins to purge some things that we don't need. Things that he doesn't want in our lives. Turn over to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Boy, you're turning the pages quietly this morning, or you've just gave up on me. I know there's not that many cell phones in here. Or at least with the Bible app on them. Psalm 24. You hear?
Yeah.
Okay, let me hear from you. Psalm 24, beginning in verse 3. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul, his mind, will, and emotions to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. If we have deceit in our heart, we can't even find the hill. Do you see what that scripture says? If we have deceit in our heart, we can't even find the hill, much less ascend the hill. You see, when we ascend toward God, we go through a furnace of truth. A furnace of truth that extracts falsehood from our souls. You see, abiding in the holy place means honesty. It means honesty. Even when a lie might save us. Every step up God's hill is a step more of transparency. Transparency of our souls. A clearer view of the motive of our hearts. And so often the inner man is hidden in fear and darkness, living in untruths, illusions, and deceptions. And that's the soul that God seeks to save. Only truth can free our soul. Only truth can free our soul. You see, we see holiness, but it only comes as the Spirit of truth reveals the hidden places in our heart. Truthfulness leads to holiness. Truthfulness leads to holiness. And without knowing it, as we search for God's heart, we're really searching for our own heart. Only in finding his heart will we discover ours. Listen, we need to have clear away all the cosmetics, all the justifications from our soul, so we can see the true condition of our heart. And surely it's not all bad. We'll see some good there. But we'll also surely see some stuff that's not good either. You see, in the first three chapters of Revelation, Jesus revealed to the churches their true condition. He pointed out their sins. He put on them the demand to be overcomers. in light of their unique circumstances. See, our old natures are like well-worn shoes, right? I mean, our old nature are like well-worn shoes that we relax in. They feel good. They're comfortable. They're broke in. And we can be in the flesh in an instant without even thinking about it. You see, the enemies that defeat us, listen to me. The enemies that defeat us are hidden in us. Hidden in us. And unless the Holy Spirit exposes them, we can't overcome them. Jeremiah said this about human nature in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is what? Wow. And desperately what? Who can know it? Straight from God, folks. You see, there may be things inside us ruling us, controlling us, and we're not aware of it. How many of our actions are manipulated by vanity? Everybody know what vanity is? The desire to be seen or accepted by others. Are we aware of the fears and the apprehensions that just unconsciously influence our lives and a lot of our decisions? You see, we often are aware of these things inside, but we're too proud or too insecure to admit we need some help. Let me say that again. We're often aware of these things inside, but we're too proud or too insecure to admit we need help. And you know what? Marriages die every day because of that very thing, pride. Marriages die every day because of pride. It's a relationship. Pride, it's a relationship killer. Pride is a relationship killer. Worship team, you want to come on up? Listen to this for just a second. Concerning ourselves, we think so highly of what we know so little of. I want you to let that bubble a little bit. We think so highly of what we know so little of concerning ourselves. You see, that's why it's so important to connect with God and let God reveal to us our true heart, our motives, our true actions, and where they come from. Sometimes our mistaken thinking processes automatically justify our actions and rationalize our thoughts. And see, without the Holy Spirit, we're defenseless. Without the Holy Spirit working our lives, we're defenseless against our own tendencies towards self-deception. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is what? Deceitful. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to protect us from our own tendencies towards self-deception. And if we're going to be holy, as He is holy, as He calls us to be holy, we have to renounce any form of falsehood, guys and gals. Any form. And under God's grace, justified by faith and washed in the blood of Christ, we don't need to pretend to be righteous. We don't have to pretend. We just need to become truthful and acknowledge our need of God. Let's pray together. We need to become truthful and acknowledge our need of God. I want to ask you this morning, do you acknowledge your need of God? You see, we're not condemned when we're honest. We just repent and we confess so that we're forgiven and cleansed. we love truth, we will be delivered from sin and deception. But we have to embrace truth. Truth about ourselves. Truth about the world. Truth about God. There's two things, and two things only. Knowing the heart of God and knowing our own heart in the light of Christ as He sees it. So how are you looking at yourself this morning? How do you see the words and perceive the words when God says, "Be holy as I am holy"? I hope that you'll perceive it through the words of Christ. When He said, "I'm humble, I'm lowly of heart, I'm meek." Because that's really what holiness is. It's the humility of Christ being manifested in our lives and taking control of our lives. Humility. But it starts with God. It starts with a relationship. Do you have a relationship with God today through Jesus Christ? The Bible says that if you believe and if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I want to ask you this morning, does everybody have that affirmed in your heart? If you don't, you need to start there. It starts with giving your heart to God. And you can do that right now, right where you are, because it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. Believing that Jesus is the Savior. Believing that you need a Savior. Acknowledging it. Confessing your sin to Him. Asking for forgiveness. It's called repent. Just ask Him to forgive you for your sin. And then give Him your heart. Willfully, willingly give Him your heart by faith. Just say, "Lord, I place my life and my heart in your hands, and I receive you by faith as my Savior." God, I pray today that, and over the next several weeks, that we would come to have a better understanding of what holiness is, how you perceive holiness, and what true holiness is. Humility comes through your grace that you pour out to those that are humble and fill with your grace. God, I pray that someone here this morning that came here without a relationship with you, I pray today that they have given their life to you. I pray maybe someone watching by internet has confessed Jesus as Lord and given their heart to Him today. God, we pray that you would help us through the power and the presence of your Spirit working in us and through us, that we would be people of humility, of humbleness, so that you can impart your grace not only in us but through us to others. Through us to those in need of your living, breathing Son, Jesus Christ. God, help us to be holy as you are holy. Help us to be humble and walk in humility every day with each other and with those around us in the world, speaking your truth in a humility of love. And God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come before you, to worship you with our lives, to give you our lives, to give you our tithes, to give you our offerings, to give you everything we have that you desire in our lives, most of all our hearts. So we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made a decision today, maybe you were watching on the internet, contact our website. There's a prayer line there that you can send in a prayer line or just tell us that you gave your life to Christ. If you're here with us today, if you'll fill out that connection point, there's a place, as Pastor Bill noted, to give a prayer request. But there's also a place for, if you made any kind of decision, write that down so we can pray for you. Maybe you accepted Christ. Maybe you've accepted Christ already. You want to be baptized. Check the box and we'll get in touch with you. We just want to encourage you. We want to come alongside each other and help build the kingdom together and walk and live in it. Amen. Okay, Heart Cry family and friends, it's offering time.